Support for GLT's Grow comes from Chris Holderly at Advantage Lawn and Landscape, offering customized services for commercial and residential landscaping and property design, including staging for long-term growth during all seasons. Proud to serve Central Illinois. Details at growingadvantage.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Wildfires have devastated California, leading to huge property losses and significant loss of life. And there's some evidence that forest management or mismanagement is one of the factors leading to the fires. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. And he's curator of the Fell Arboretum. Murph, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. So the state's own watchdog commission, California's own watchdog commission, the Little Hoover Commission, issued an 82-page report in February 2018, warning of an impending disaster, citing a century of forest mismanagement. What is forest management, and what do you think are some of the best practices?
I think forest management falls in the context of logging, ranching, and then private land management. So on the private land management side of the things, if you were going to build a house in Mendocino County, California, or even the Inland Empire in Rancho Cucamonga, you had to clear the trees at least 100 feet away from your house. That was the minimum. Now, these are trees that grow in a more temperate climate. They grow for a longer period of time each growing season, and they get much taller than many of our trees here in the Midwest. When the fires occur, it catches the tops of the trees on fire.
So it's the canopy that's burning.
That's why it's 100 feet minimum. So for a lot of people that built homes when you and I were going to high school, they were clearing the trees 250 to 300 feet away from the house. That way, if the tree fell, it wouldn't strike the house. That's kind of a common sense approach. There's no requirement to remove those trees close to the house. It was done with the best of intentions as far as the governance of that scenario goes, but it creates a tinderbox for a hot fire.
Let's talk about logging next.
Logging has a bad stigma, and I don't agree with that stigma. I think that a lot of people are uninformed about logging. Logging needs more trees. So when they cut down one, they usually plant four or more. The reason that's four or more is because the biological odds of all four of them or all seven surviving are low. You're going to plant four to get one. The ground that remains after logging has been conducted is prepared for these new plantings. Sometimes they're planted with aerial bombs, like a seedling bomb. Other times it's people hand over foot going into these areas and planting the seedlings. The ground is returned to a till that is a combination of wood pulp and soil. It does not catch on fire, doesn't maintain a fire. When restrictions for logging began in the 1990s, all of that changed. And there were lots of areas that were planted back in the 80s that went untouched and unmaintained because the loggers were not allowed to go into those areas again. Now you have a place where ground vegetation has built up along with the seedlings. That's a problem.
And ranching.
Ranching, a lot of times, had private farmers taking their herds onto federal land to graze. And if anybody's been around goats and cattle, they'll eat everything down to the ground, from where they can reach down to the ground. And when it comes to the goats, they'll even eat bottle caps and stuff like that that they find. These were naturally occurring breaks that prevented the buildup of dry vegetation that starts to stack up in the fall all the way into the early spring. That is a practice that has been curtailed in our lifetime also.
In fact, some of the areas that are having a problem in California are grassy areas that were once burned. Trees haven't returned.
That's right. And a lot of times the ranchers would come back to the same lands where they have grazed in a rotating fashion, and they accompanied that with mechanical mitigation, which is nothing more than brush mowing. That keeps the fire close to the ground.
Talk to me about prescribed burns and what those can do for a forest. What does the forest look like before and after a prescribed burn?
Well,
you're not burning the trees.
No, but in nature, lightning starts fires, natural fires, and this is usually a spring occurrence. An area that's being burnt for the first time, that's the most dangerous area to do a prescribed burn in, because then you have to have fire suppression there at the same time. That's because a lot of fuel has stacked up. And think about the difference of burning some grass, which is, you know, could be chest high, knee high. It burns and the fire stays close to the ground, versus a couple of old, say, beetle kill pines in Colorado. They fall on each other like pickup sticks, and now you have a wood fuel pile that's 4 or 5 feet tall, sometimes even taller, or the dead tree that's leaning against another tree mixed in with this stuff. Now you have an ignition source that's high up off the ground.
And sometimes the prescribed burns aren't happening because of local regulations.
That's an air quality issue, and that's kind of where the conflict comes in sometimes.
So a prescribed burn is getting rid of the understory. What happens during a wildfire if that understory hasn't been managed?
Then the fire is hotter, it's further off the ground, and it has the potential to catch stuff on fire that's not on the ground. So that could be the lower branches on larger trees. And then if that tree and the wind conditions are right, the fire goes all the way to the top of the tree. And a lot of times that won't happen. The tree will not allow it to happen. The space between the branches has a lot to do with that. But if this is an area that's been affected by climate change and drought, you'll have standing dead trees mixed in with the living ones. And once they ignite, they become like little chimneys that are spouting out little hot embers. Combine that with fire and then the wind that is created from a firestorm, that can launch a ember the size of your fist a couple miles. And that's going into areas that are neglected the same way.
The disruption created by climate change, drought, can have an effect on the likelihood of a fire.
It can have an effect on it. And I would say it's increasing the chance of them happening.
And then on the back end, with some of those unpredictable weather events, you might then get a huge rainfall on an area that's been burned out, and that's a whole other set of problems.
That's totally right, Mike. We're going to have another whole set of stories to follow. The sad stories about, you know, regular folks like you and I and celebrities losing their homes in these beautiful sloped residential areas that are now like sheets of glass for the rain, and mudslides are as common in California as the wildfires are.
You touched on fire breaks earlier. What is a fire break and how does that work and what sort of maintenance has to go into effect? We're not just talking about a lack of trees here.
No, fire breaks a lot of times look like a road, and a lot of times they are a road, but they're wider than a road because the fire break width has to be determined by the height of the forest. So if the trees are 200 feet tall, the fire break needs to be wider than that. So it could be a road with some open strips of vegetation on them. This vegetation needs to be mowed, and these fire breaks need to be maintained. And it kind of echoes other topics we've discussed where we've touched on doing nothing as doing something. And that really doesn't exist, in my opinion. If they do nothing, even in the fire breaks, where there's plenty of room for them to bring equipment in there, I'm also of the opinion that the logging companies and the forestry professionals would be in their best interest to help make this happen because they have the tools to do so. But that's not going on.
And is there anything on a smaller scale people in Central Illinois should do as it concerns wildfires? If they're living out in the country, should they also make sure that they don't have tall grass next to their house or lots of trees? Because there are prairie fires, there are wildfires in Central Illinois occasionally.
Many areas in Central Illinois that you cannot have a fire outside without a permit and a charged water hose. And I think that's a good idea. But you got to use some responsibility and common sense. You would also want to do your burns where you light the upwind area first so that the downwind areas burn into something that's already been snuffed out.
If you have any questions about wildfires or anything in nature or gardening, submit them at WGLT.org. I'm Mike McCurdy with Patrick Murphy. Send your gardening questions to WGLT.org/grow.